won't be easy, you should not expect it to be easy. No soldier ever went into battle expecting it to be easy. And neither should you. My third observation is you have to have all of the armor. Did you see that in verse 13? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. You see, if you don't have all of the armor, you're going to have a weak place, and Satan is going to exploit it. Now, Paul mentions six pieces of armor in the text. It's really a great illustration because in Paul's day, Roman soldiers were everywhere. And Paul, in fact, as he wrote this, may have been chained between two Roman soldiers. Everyone knew what a Roman soldier looked like. So he says, first of all, take the belt of truth. Verse 14 talks about girding your waist with truth. The first thing a soldier put on was sort of a loose-fitting tunic, and the belt held it all together so it didn't get in the way. If you don't have truth, I'm not concerned about the belt. I'm concerned about the truth. If you don't have the truth, which comes from the Word of God, you're not going to be able to fight Satan, let alone defeat him. You see, his battle is ultimately against the truth. Do you remember what he said to Eve? Did God really say that, Eve? He was questioning the truth. This is the foundation of the battle. This is what we're fighting for, the truth. And remember, he's the father of lies. So he's going to lie to you. Does the Word of God really say that? Does the Word of God say that you should be pure? Does the Word of God really mean that? Does the Word of God really mean that homosexuality is a sin? Does the Word of God really mean that abortion is murder? Does the Word of God really? Choose your poison apple. He's going to question the truth. And if you don't have the truth, if you don't stand on the truth, you've already lost the battle. The second piece of armor that is mentioned is the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness means right living. It means godly living. You can't defeat Satan if you are living like Satan. But when you live godly, when you live righteously, you can stand against him. The third piece of armor is the shoes, or I guess to keep it with the Roman soldier, let's say sandals, which are the gospel of peace. This refers to having peace in your life because of the gospel. Having peace in your life based upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you believe what the Bible says. Because you've accepted Jesus Christ. Because even though life doesn't go perfect, you know in the end that God will make it that way. Because you are living by what the Bible says. Because you trust what the Bible says. And when that is true in your life, then you can walk through life in peace. Then he mentions the shield of faith. The shield of faith is believing that God is who you need and that God is all you need. You don't need God plus something else. You simply need the shield of faith. You need faith in God. And then he mentions the helmet of salvation. It refers to our minds and the safety that we need to have from the attacks of Satan. Every sin that has ever been committed started in the mind. It was a thought before it was an act. You need to guard your mind. It takes you back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, where Paul talks about being living sacrifices and having our minds transformed, he says, having our lives transformed by the renewing of our minds. As you were born in this world, your mind was evil, it was corrupt, it was sinful. When you come to Christ, a process begins to take place. You begin to be transformed. The more you're in the Word of God and hearing the Word of God and reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God, the more your mind is transformed. That is the helmet of salvation. It's not something that Harry Potter puts on your head. It's something that God puts on your head as you are in the Word of God. And then he mentions the sword of the Spirit, and this one he identifies as the Word of God. It means believing the Word of God. It means, again, living by the Word of God. It means making the Word of God a basic part of your life. It's been pointed out many, many times that all of the armor is defensive except this one. Do you remember Matthew chapter 4? Matthew chapter 4 is the temptation of Christ. Do you remember when Satan came and he tempted Christ? What did Jesus do? He used the sword of the Spirit. He quoted the Word of God. If you are going to defeat the enemy, you need to hold on to the truth. You need to live a godly life. You need to let the peace of God rule in your life. You need to believe that all you need is God. You need to have a transformed mind, and you need to let the Word of God direct your life. Anything short of that is going to leave you open to the attacks of Satan. And then Paul adds this in verse 18, praying always. I've often wondered why he didn't equate prayer to another piece of the armor. He didn't. But he does stress for us just how important it is for us to pray, praying always, always, with all prayer and supplication in the Holy Spirit. In the context, the prayer is about the attacks of Satan. You will never defeat Satan without prayer. We need to be people of prayer. And when you feel the attack of Satan coming on in your life, you feel the temptations coming in your life, the first thing you need to do is pray. You are never going to stop Satan and defeat his attacks against you until first you submit to God, resist the devil, and then put on the armor of God. I want to end this section on what you need to know about the enemy by looking then at what happens to Satan, his ultimate end. Satan won't always be the problem that he is today. When Jesus comes at the second coming, at the end of the millennial kingdom, Satan will face his ultimate end. Would you turn in your Bibles to the last book, Revelation, almost the last chapter, chapter 20. And the Pew Bible is on page 833. And I want to begin reading at verse 7. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, that's the end of the millennial kingdom, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations. Can I just stop here a second? The rapture is going to happen. Then we're going to have 7 years of tribulation. And then we're going to go into the millennial kingdom, a perfect rule of Jesus Christ on the earth. During that time, Satan is always bound. Do you know what happens at the end of the millennial kingdom? He's loosed and he's able to raise an army to oppose God. Do you know what that tells me? We're evil enough. We don't need Satan. Those people are not going to have to deal with Satan, and they're still going to turn against Jesus. I want you to know who Satan is, and I want you to be aware of him, and I want you to oppose him, but I never want you to think that all of your problems and all of your sin are because of Satan. You're evil enough. I'm evil enough. Satan is loosed, and he will go out in verse 8 to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is of the sand of the sea. That's how many people he's going to be able to get to follow him. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, the city of Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into a lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. You see, Satan is going to be judged. His end is guaranteed. And we will go off into eternity. You say, why doesn't God do something about Satan now? I can't answer that question. I don't know. We know from our study of Scripture that God has a perfect time for what he does. And God's perfect time to ultimately judge Satan is, as we've read, at the end of the millennial kingdom. Do I wish it was sooner? Absolutely. But God has a perfect time. And in God's perfect time, Jesus was born in the fullness of time. And in the fullness of time, God will judge Satan. As I said when we began this series on what you need to know about the enemy, it's important to know what the Bible says about Satan. This spiritual battle that we are in is not something we should ignore. It's not something we should take lightly. It is serious. It is dangerous. But the good news is that God has already won the war. I took you to that passage in Colossians chapter 2 where it talks about Jesus leading the armies of Satan through the streets in victory. But in the meantime, we are going to face spiritual battles every day of our lives. And you can either win those battles or you can lose those battles. Don't let the enemy defeat you. As Paul says in Ephesians, don't let him get a foot in the door as you live for Christ. I want to leave you this morning with a picture that we posted on the church Facebook site this morning. It says this, Satan cannot destroy the gospel, so he does all he can to attack those who believe it. He tempts, he divides, he accuses, he schemes, he deceives, he lies, he stirs gossip, he provokes distrust, he feeds bitterness. But do not fear, Jesus is the good shepherd. And he will guard us. That's what you're up against, folks. You need to submit to God. You need to resist the devil. And you need to put on the armor of God. Let's pray together. Father, we are in a battle. A battle that we sometimes do not see. A battle that we sometimes do see. And we have, as Christians, often accepted the philosophies and the teachings and the habits and the practices of the world without even examining them against the Word of God to see if they are good or if they are evil. And because of that, we have accepted a lot of the lies of Satan. Father, I pray that you would help us as we've just, in these three messages, touch the surface of who our enemy is and what he's about and how we can stand against him. Lord, help us to realize how serious of an issue this is. Help us to submit our lives to you. Help us to resist the enemy. Help us to put on the armor of God that we can stand against him. Lord, our prayer today is that we would be the kind of people that you can use in this battle. Oh, certainly we will be defeated from time to time, but we could certainly win a lot more of the battles if we would do what we need to do. Help us to realize how dangerous our enemy is and how powerful he is, but more than that, help us to realize how powerful you are. Guard us, we pray, by your Spirit. Teach us the Word of God. Help us to walk in it. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.